Who's got a number for us to open with? Somebody have a number? Number eight. Let's sing number eight. That's a good one for us to start with. Speaks about the coming of the Lord Jesus. Number eight.
Shall we gather at his coming?
Last night we had a gospel meeting, and it was a gospel meeting that I think everyone could understand. It was for boys and girls, and it was for older people, but this morning we're having a gospel meeting, and it's just for boys and girls. The older people listen too, but it's just for boys and girls. Now, why would we have a gospel meeting just for boys and girls? Who can answer that for me? Anybody know that? Sunday school, that's right, that's Sunday school, but why would we have Sunday school? Why would we have Sunday school for boys and girls? Anybody know why would we would have a Sunday school for boys and girls? You know, we had some meetings yesterday. We had a reading meeting, and we had an open meeting, and maybe that was a little hard to understand. But this one is just for boys and girls. Anybody know why we would have one just for boys and girls? So they can understand, that's right. They can understand. And is there another reason, maybe? Somebody else had their hand up. Pardon me?
I have the same reason.
You have the same reason, that's right. You know, well, I'm sure the brethren here, and we all like the boys and girls to understand how to be saved. But you know why it's for boys and girls? I went for a little walk this morning, and I paced it out. It was about 300 feet away from where we were staying at the Comfort Inn, and there's a little graveyard there, and it's called the Nimmensburg Cemetery. You know, when I went to that little graveyard and I went around it, it's not very big. It's only about the size of half of this room right here, from where I'm standing to that back wall. That's how big that little graveyard is. And I went through that graveyard, and you know, there was a man's grave there, and he was 74 years old when he died. And then there was a lady's grave there, and she was 58 when she died. And then, you know, there was a lady there, and she was 26 years old when she died. You know, that was the same age as my grandma when she died. She was 26. And I went a little further, and I saw there was two graves side by side. There was a little boy and a little girl, and they were 7 years old when they died. You know, there was another grave, and there was a little baby there that was 11 days old when that baby died. And then there was another grave, and there was a baby that died the same day it was born. You know, there was all different ages. You know, I have two little babies in heaven that died the same day they were born. They were born to my wife and I, and then the Lord Jesus took them home. But you know, we have Sunday school because we don't know when we're going to leave this world. None of us know when we're going to leave this world. And it's important for us to understand how to be saved and to understand that we need to have our sins washed away in order for us to be in heaven, as we've been singing, shall we gather at his coming? Well, let's just ask the Lord for his help. Well, who has another hymn for us? Somebody else have one for us?
41.
Sorry, which one was that?
41.
41. You have to speak up. Number 41. I like this one. It's about the gypsy boy. Nope. I'm sorry. Number 41. Around the throne of God in heaven will many children sing. Number 41. Around the throne of God in heaven will many children sing. Children whose sins are all forgiven will heavenly anthems ring, singing glory, glory, glory. Tell it again, tell it again.
into the tent where a gypsy boy lay, dying alone at the close of the day. News of salvation we carry, said he. Nobody ever has told it to me.
James. Number 25.
Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf in time. Fleeting days are telling fast, fast as I
to steal the hope that's true.
Important to be in time. You know, we heard about the ark last night, and there were some people that went into the ark, and they went in on time. They went in just on time. But you know, there were some people, I'm sure when those drops started to fall, they realized that it was too late. And they may have even have knocked on the door of the ark to see if they could come in, but they weren't in time. They weren't in time. And we want to be on time, don't we? I'm so glad that I came to know the Lord Jesus. You know, there was times when I sat as a boy, and I sat in gospel meetings, and I sat in Sunday school just like this. And if the Lord had have taken me, you know, I wouldn't have been on time. I wouldn't have been on time. It's such an important thing to be on time. I was talking to a man this time last year. He was in bed. He was sick with cancer. And he was preparing his family for leaving this world. And you know, the doctor had told him the day before that he had about 6 months to live. And you know, in 4 days, the Lord took him. In 4 days, the Lord took him. And I don't think he was on time. I don't think so. We want to be on time, don't we? Be in time. Well, let's sing one more. Somebody else have one more. Etienne? Number 46. This is a nice one. Glad tidings. Well, it's certainly glad tidings we have here this morning. Number 46.
Glad tidings.
Speak a few minutes this morning about some shields. You know, in Ephesians 6 it says, above all, taking the shield of faith. Who can tell me what a shield is? What's a shield? Anybody tell me what a shield is? What kind of a person would use a shield? Would a doctor use a shield? Or would an accountant use a shield? How about a soldier? Would a soldier use a shield? Etienne, what's a shield? That's right, a soldier would use a shield. That's right, a soldier would use a shield. Well, you know, the first shield I want to look at is in 1 Samuel. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And you know, it's kind of sad when we read about this shield, because you remember the story of David and Goliath. We all know that story well. Where David went, he was up on the top of the mountain, and he went down into the valley where that big, strong man, that big giant was, Goliath. And you know, we read about that Goliath and how he had armor. And he had a big spear, and he had a sword. But we're going to read something about his shield that I think is very sad. And that is in 1 Samuel chapter 17, and in verse 7, it says, "And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him." You know, that's kind of sad, because here Goliath, he had a shield, but you know, Goliath didn't carry it. Goliath didn't carry his shield. He let somebody else carry his shield. You know, that's a solemn thing. You know, there's lots of boys and girls here, and you know your dad's saved. And you know your mom's saved. And you know maybe your brother's saved or your sister. They're all carrying a shield. You know, it's not good enough for them to carry your shield. You have to carry your own shield. You know what happened to Goliath because he didn't carry his shield? He perished on the battlefield. He perished on the battlefield because somebody else carried his shield. He didn't carry his own shield. You know, in Ephesians 6, when it says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith." Another translation says, "Besides all this, taking the shield of faith." In Ephesians 6, we read of all the armor, and then we read about the shield, and it's in a place by itself. You know, the Lord Jesus speaks of our faith. And he speaks of to the grain of mustard seed. You know, what's important is not how much faith we have. What's important is what our faith is linked to at the other end. Here, Goliath, you know, he didn't carry his own shield. Well, you know, there's another shield in 2 Samuel. And this is a sad shield, too, in 2 Samuel chapter 1. We read about a man, he had a shield. But it's a sad commentary as well. In 2 Samuel chapter 1, we read in verse 21, "Ye mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew, neither let there be rain upon you, nor fields of offerings, for there the shield of the mighty is vilely cast away. The shield of Saul, as though he had not been anointed with oil." You know, here was a man that had a shield. And when he was on the battlefield, what did he do with his shield? Did he hang on to it? You know, a shield is that which can preserve life. And this man, he carried a shield, but on the battlefield, he threw it away. You know, I think that King Saul was a pretender. He was a pretender. You know, he pretended all his life to know the Lord. And he carried a shield, but on the battlefield he showed his true colors and he threw that shield away. You know, and I'm afraid that there might be boys and girls here and you're just pretending that you're saved. You're just pretending that you know the Lord. You know, that's a sad thing. You know, there was times when I was a boy and people asked me if I was saved. You know what I said? I said, yeah, I'm saved. You know, I was just pretending to be saved. I was just pretending. You know, we don't want to be like Saul, who was pretending to be saved. You know, I'm going to tell you a story about another time that I was pretending. The boys and girls in our assembly have heard this story. But when I was a boy, I was becoming a young man, and I played in an orchestra. And I played the violin in an orchestra. And, you know, we used to practice every week. The whole orchestra would get together, and the conductor would stand up at the front, and he'd have his baton there, and he'd start, and everybody would start playing. Well, you know, this one week, he gave us an assignment. And it was a very busy week for me. It was a very busy week. And I didn't have time to practice. Have any time to practice the violin. And you know, the next week when we came together, you know, I pulled the violin out of the box. It hadn't been out of the box all week. And the conductor stood up at the front, and we were all preparing, we were tuning our instruments. And I had the music in front of me, and I looked at it, you know, and I hadn't practiced that piece, and I didn't know it at all. I didn't know it at all. And the conductor, you know, when he starts, he taps his baton on the podium, and then everyone starts. And you know, if you've ever watched an orchestra, and you've looked at the violins, all the bows go up and down exactly the same way, just like that. You know, and I was sort of afraid because I didn't know the piece, and I didn't know what to do. And so I just kind of looked at the other bows as they were going up and down, and I made mine go up and down just like theirs, but I didn't touch the strings. I didn't touch the strings. You know, I was just pretending to know the piece. I was just pretending. You know, boys and girls, we don't want any pretenders here. We don't want anybody that's pretending to know the Lord. We want you to be in the ark. We want you to go right in the door of the ark and not to pretend that you know the Lord Jesus. Well, you know what happened while I was playing there? All of a sudden, the conductor, he stopped everybody. He stopped everybody from playing. And he says, I want all the stringed instruments to play. Well, that meant all the violins and the violas and the cellos and the basses. And they all started to play. Well, I started to make my bow go up and down just like the others. But I didn't touch the strings. I didn't touch the strings at all. I was pretending again. You know, and after a couple of minutes, the conductor, he stopped everybody again. And then he said, you know, I just want this group of violins over here to play. You know, and that was about 12 violins. Well, you know, I was in that group. And you know, well, we all started to play, and again, my bow went up and down just like all the other bows. But I wasn't touching the strings. And you know, then the conductor, he stopped everybody. And then you know what he did? He looked at two of us and he says, I want you two to play. And you know, I was one of those two. And you know, only one person played. You know, when I tried to hit the strings that time, and you know, it didn't sound very good. But I was pretending. You know, when I talked to the conductor after, and I spoke to him, you know, he said, you know, I knew what the problem was all along. Because their ears are trained, and they know just what the difficulty is. And he knew what the trouble was. He knew that there wasn't enough volume coming out of that group of violins, and he knew which one wasn't playing. But I asked him, I said, well, how come you did it the way you did? I said, why didn't you just speak to me? He said, well, you know, I did it that way so that it wouldn't happen again. And you know, the Lord Jesus, he speaks once, yea, twice. And you know, the Lord Jesus has spoken. He's spoken last night to you boys and girls about being in the ark. And I have this feeling that there might be some here this morning pretending. You're just a pretender. You're pretending to know the Lord Jesus. You're at all the meetings. You're dressed nice like all the other boys and girls. You know just the right things to say. You're able to turn to all the verses, and you're able to sing the hymns. But you don't know the Lord Jesus. You know, that's a solemn thing for you to be a pretender. A pretender. We don't want to be a pretender, do we? Let's look at one more shield now in 1 Chronicles. First Chronicles chapter 12. You know, when I read about these men here, I thought that it was very interesting what it says about these men. These men weren't pretenders that we're going to read about in 1 Chronicles 12. They didn't pretend. They didn't pretend at all. In 1 Chronicles chapter 12, it says of the Gadites, in verse 8, it says, "And of the Gadites there separated themselves unto David, into the hold, to the wilderness, men of might, men of war, fit for the battle, that could handle shield and buckler, whose faces were like the faces of lions and were as swift as roes upon the mountains." You know, when I first read, about that, I thought, you know, that's interesting. You know, when we think of a warfare back then, we would think of those that were able to use the bow, and they were able to shoot an arrow, and they were able to hit the mark right on. Or we think of those who were able to use the sword, and they're real good at it. But it doesn't say that about these men. It says that they could handle the shield. Now, why would it say that? Is there something important about being able to handle the shield? You know, these men, they had an appreciation for that which could preserve life. They knew what could save their life. And it wasn't a bow. You know, if a man had a bow and he was shooting an arrow and there was an arrow coming at him from this way, could that bow and that arrow save him? No. Or if he was shooting an arrow and someone was coming up to him with a sword, could that bow and arrow save him? No. You know, these men, as I said, they had an appreciation for that which could preserve their life. And you know, I've thought about the Gadites there, and I've thought about those men, how they would go into a battle. And you know, we'd perhaps, if we were standing there, we would look and see what's happening, and there'd be lots of dust flying, and there'd be bodies, and there would be all this activity, and then all the dust would all settle. And you know what we'd find? We'd find the Gadites standing there with their shields. We'd find them standing there with their shields. They knew what could preserve life. Well, you know, boys and girls, you know the way of salvation. You know what can preserve your life too. But we don't want you to be a pretender. We don't want you to be a pretender today. We want you to lay hold of that shield of faith. We want you to have your sins washed away in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. Well, we're going to turn to another one, but how about we sing a hymn first? Somebody have a hymn for us? Number 5. Number 5. Oh, happy day that fixed my joy
in my Savior and my God. Thank you.
Well, I'd like to look at another shield in Genesis. In Genesis chapter 14, you know, we read about Abraham, and we read about Lot. You know, we read about Noah last night, and Noah's been a real encouragement to me, Noah's a father, because Noah had the testimony that when he spoke to his children, they went into the ark with him. And when Lot spoke to his children, you know, his sons-in-laws, they mocked at him, and Lot didn't have all his children go with him. But here we find Abraham and Lot in the 14th chapter. You know what transpired? There were some kings, there was five kings, I believe, that came down against four kings, and there was a battle, and a lot of the men of Sodom were taken away, and a lot of their goods were taken away, and one of the people that was taken away was Lot. You know, when Abraham heard that his nephew Lot was taken away, Abraham decided he was going to go and get him. And so Abraham went, and he went with his little army. You know, when I thought about his little army, he had 318 men, and that army wasn't really too much bigger than Gideon's army. But he went against the enemy, and he went against them at nighttime. And we know he was victorious, and he came back, and he had Lot with him. And you know, he started to think about what he'd done. He started to think that, you know, this King Chedorlaomer, he might realize that the one that came against him was Abraham. Now, Abraham didn't exactly live in a big walled city. He didn't exactly have huge armies. You know, he lived in a tent, and he had flocks and herds, and they were scattered around on the countryside. And you know, Abraham, I think he felt like a sitting duck if Chedorlaomer decided he was going to come back. Because you know, when Abraham went against Chedorlaomer, he went against them at night. And Chedorlaomer would have had no idea how big the army was that was coming against him. But you know, while he's thinking about these things, you know what the Lord says? Let's read the first verse of the 15th chapter. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield. Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Well, boys and girls, here this morning, can you say that the Lord is your shield? Can you say that the Lord is your shield? You know, I'm so thankful I can stand here and say that the Lord is my shield. You know, I went through a time in my life where I wasn't sure if I was saved or not, and I'd get saved, and I'd go to another gospel meeting, and the speaker would preach a real solemn message, and I'd wonder if I was saved. You know, and I'd ask the Lord to wash my sins away again. And I wonder if there's boys and girls here that are wondering if you're really saved. You know, there are those that are pretenders, but there are sometimes those that are just not sure. You know, in our house, we had someone come to us in the middle of the night once, and they said, you know, Daddy, I know I'm saved, but the devil's telling me that I'm not saved. And I'm wondering if there's boys and girls that are saved, and you really are not sure that you're saved. You're not real sure. You know, Abram was fearful here, and he was a little bit afraid. We know that because the Lord says to him, Fear not, Abram, fear not. And I'm wondering if there's someone here that's a little bit afraid. Well, can you say, like Abram was able to say, that the Lord was his shield? You know, the Lord could say to Abram at this time, he could say, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield. I am thy shield and exceeding great reward. Well, boys and girls, let's remember these thoughts about the shields. And I'm wondering if we could sing one more hymn before we close. Maybe someone has it for us. Someone have a hymn for us. Number 42. That's a good one. A little child of 7, or even 3 or 4, may enter into heaven through Christ the open door.
A little child of 7, are I'm crying.
let's just pray.